Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
No man, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over.
Welcome to episode 374 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Hollis Thomas, a.k.a. Damn Skippy. And we're talking the Eagles versus the Vikings. Obviously, they won. So be excited about that. There's naysayers out there that are just, we're 2-0, right? So 2-0, you got to be excited about being a 2-0. But there's a lot of Eagle fans that are not excited about the way that we won. But again, we won. If you were at the game or at the preseason, pregame festivities, we had a little tailgate out there. It got a little crazy out there. So shout out to all you guys who showed up and teamed up. There was some kind of DJ booth out there, looking low-ski, looking like a rock star. There was a lot of crazies in the mix. We had this little booth, you know. Shout out to Red Bull. Shout out to Red Bull. You know. Shout out to Red Bull. But you know, overall, I'm excited with the win. People asked me, "How do you feel?" I said, "I used to have a cat named Toby. Sometimes he would kill his victim. It would be a nice little innocent mouse, right? And he would present it to you. Be proud, and he would leave it there. As he got older, he would play with such victims and not." kill them right away. And that's kind of how I feel. I would like the Eagles to start killing their victims and presenting them at our feet.
Putting them out of their misery?
Yeah. Does that work for you guys?
That works for me.
The funny thing is I think everybody thought we were going to hit the ground running. Obviously, we didn't play any preseason. But I feel like this is our preseason. You don't want to peak too early. But then it'll get boring. The victory was ugly, but the W is sexy. That's what I say. I mean, you got to come away with something. You got to figure out a way to win these early games, especially, you know, with the guys not being in tune with each other. I was like, you saw, and everybody, we always talk about practice and we talk about the practices with the other team, but they weren't in no clear and present danger. The whistle was probably blowing quick. Nobody was taking anybody to the ground all the way. But the one thing that I've noticed too, and I didn't get to talk to you guys last week. I like the fact that we got to the defense got to close out a damn game. I was like, and we did. And I don't know about you, but I wasn't scared up to the point when we went back on the field towards the end when we took those chances offensively. I felt like our defense had took their step in the proper direction. And the things I saw as far as like disguising coverages, primetime blitzes, looking like we knew how to blitz, and didn't look like, oh, it's my turn to go. So it was it's some good stuff, but then there's some bad stuff. Our offensive coach doesn't know that we're a run first team to get to the passes. I saw a few bad route concepts where He flooded one side of the field with no receivers on the other side of the field. And guess which way did our quarterback escape with nobody to just chunk the ball to, like right over the top? Even if he's going to flood that side of the field, have somebody doing a sail route or something, or a come across route or something, and you just saw a bunch of stuff that we were able to overcome. What if I told you that I got Covey and Sip and Sip and is it Sippo? Sippico. What if I told you that they were going to be the least of our worries this year? I thought that was going to be our main worries. Well, one he returned, I got a good return on one, and then Sippo he's been punting. It not lights out, but it hasn't been the worry that we thought it was going to be. But
well, he's gone now.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, where did he go? He's gone now.
He's gone. Yeah, he got released. We got a new punter now.
Well, who we got? Who do we get?
He's a man, and he's right, bro. Brendan Mann.
Brendan Mann. Oh, but I didn't get to tell you guys last week either. I knew we was gonna win against the Vikings. They got Kirk Cousins, and he sucks. Kirk Cousins sucks donkey balls. You heard it here. You heard, not the first time you heard it. The entire time when he was playing with the then Redskins, and he's like, "You like that, don't you?" I was like, "Dude, you suck. You really suck." He's the epitome of primetime losers. So, I mean, I'm glad we didn't let him get off, and we took the ball from him and did what we needed to do to get that W.
Right. As for me, there's a lot of people that are floating out the idea of, you know, we're 2-0, but I'm not liking the way that we're winning. Like, let's really break it down here. The games have been ugly. Don't get me wrong. This isn't the best Eagles team that I've seen. This isn't the Eagles team I'm used to. However, we're put up 25 points and 34 points consecutively. I mean, those are two high-scoring games in games that we didn't really play our best in. So if we're able to put up those kind of points on the board, we're going to be able to get by. These guys are going to fall into place. And as I'm sitting there watching football on Monday night last night, first of all, I have to say the double dose on Monday night is just awful. Like, I sit there on Sunday and I bask in my football glory. And I absolutely love just sitting there and having like 15 games to watch. It's amazing. Something about having two games on Monday night just pisses me off. I don't need the double dose on Monday night. Give me one primetime game. But with that being said, both those games stunk. And the one thing that was apparent to me is that superstars win in this league. All of those teams are severely lacking superstars. And when you watch our team, we have an abundance. Guys like Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, DeAndre Swift, Jalen Hurts. This is just on the offensive side of the ball. We have superstars in this team, and superstars is what win ball games. We're going to be just fine.
Hey, Prime, how you doing, man?
What's up, fellas? My bad, late to the show.
No, but I heard you was feeling under the weather, man. What's wrong?
It's Primo's fault that I'm feeling this way. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I guess being too close, handing out cheese sticks and everything. I'm feeling good. A whole lot better than what I was after Thursday night. I guess I'm just catching the end of the startup. But Thursday, you know, you're right, Evan. It was definitely not like one of the greatest games to see, and it was an ugly win, but a win is a win, like, you know, Hollis would always say. These guys, they, you know, it was still a good show to put on. You know, not so much was feeling the atmosphere, I guess, because I was a little bit under the weather that night. And then, you know, they denied the Prime mask at the very beginning part of the game, you know.
Oh, did they? They didn't let you in?
Yeah, they didn't let
the Prime. You've been bringing that in for years. They didn't have the memo?
I said that, man. I'm like 5.5 years going, you know what I mean, in here, and all of a sudden this thing's not out of here. But, you know, I definitely went in there, you know, keeping my hopes up. Me and Gail watching the game, you know, we were both looking at each other. Don't know if it was just like, you know, all the work we put in at the tailgate, we were kind of like drained, but, you know, we were just like going with the flow, trying to enjoy the atmosphere. But, you know, we definitely weren't at our normal. It's not like we were like up running and cheering like we normally do. But, you know, I mean, we got it in. We enjoyed it. We got to see, you know, the boys go to work. And then, you know, like you said, Hollis, it's Minnesota. I definitely wasn't expecting to lose to them. No. So it is what it is.
You know, the funniest part about watching that game, the last two games, Minnesota has rushed for a warm bowl of nothing. They let the baddest rusher that they had, they released him. He was still under contract. They released the kid and thought number two was the end all be all. And then you look at, and they kept Kirk Cousins. He blows chunks. I don't know what they was expecting him to get. Then they let go of Adam Thielen. I wasn't expecting them to come in here to do nothing but what they did. And a lot of people had them titillating them to win the with the division again. I was like, they let go of a lot of the people that helped them win the division. I was like, they let go of the middle linebacker, the star middle linebacker. I was like, you can't do all that and then think that you're still going to be good. Kirk Cousins sucks. You still got Justin Jefferson, who put on a bit of a show. And I don't know about you guys, but we need to get our young guys up to speed secondary wise on taking calls. And I didn't realize how much we was gonna miss Reed Blankenship, because I was talking to Dawkins Foundation thing, and we were talking about like we get to come out on the sideline. The one thing that we don't hear most of the time with a really good defense or a great defense is communication. The communication amongst the secondary and stuff. There's like the talking and stuff. You didn't. When Reed Blankenship went there, you didn't see nobody giving those guys the coverage. And obviously, it was one time where inexperienced, ball awareness pause. You know? But Job, who lost his cut, who we run a man under. You have to go with your man. What do you think he was going to the fucking snack bar? I think we just got to get our guys up to speed. And I didn't realize how much we were going to miss all those guys. And it was the one thing that I was kind of disappointed at the young guys was, you're only going to get so many chances where they trust you in a situation where somebody goes down before on Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday, you come in, you know, those are supposed to be your days off. But you know what you do as a player, when you're a fringe player, a young player? You come in and you work out. You know why you come in and work out? You come in to see who they're working out and what positions they're working out. Because those are the days that they bring all those guys in that everybody think is on the streets. Those guys stay in shape. They may bring in a guy from a practice squad, another practice squad or something, and work him out to see if he is what they need. So you better get your stuff together, because there's not going to be too many times that they trust you to go out there and play and you fuck up like we did.
Hmm. Talk about the list you just mentioned, Hollis, had mm-hmm. that in queue. The Eagles worked out William Jackson, mm-hmm. Cornerback from Houston. Actually, he played with Washington, had a back issue with mm-hmm. Steelers, didn't play last season, and got worked out by the Giants as well. EJ Jenkins, tight end, mm-hmm. John Kelly, a running back.
Right.
Bryant Kobach, running back from Toledo. Isaiah Moore, linebacker, North Carolina State. For some positive, let's have some positives here. The Eagles put up 259 yards. I think if you're an offensive lineman, this is the kind of game that you rejoice, pump your chest. I think DeAndre Swift, being a man from the city, I think that he put the stake in the ground in terms of having his family there. He played in the city, had his career high rushing yards.
Where the Kenny Gainwell stands at?
DeAndre Swift. I think that tremendous job.
That's quarterback one right there, DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift is going to be running back one because he made himself running back one. Yeah. But doing what he did in New England wasn't going to make him running back one. He put the ball on the ground as soon as he touched it.
He got the ball like one time.
And what did he do? He fumbled. Come on. Oh, we finna stand around for that?
Well,
around watching 175 yards on Thursday.
He fumbled against New England?
Yeah, first play. But that was the thing. You have to know
I guess I got a raindrop in my eye.
Their whole thing was, I love the fact that we got two guys, you got three guys to run the ball. This was the plan already to have him come out and have the home opener, so they wasn't going to use him because it's two games in less than seven days. You're going to burn both of your running backs out, burn one of them out, and then have the other one fresh and ready for the next game that's going to be on a Thursday night. I feel like it was a quality plan. And if you looked at the New England game, Gainwell was killing that first, and then he just – I don't know what the fuck is wrong with our offense coordinator. He just went away from running the ball. He doesn't know who we are. What you on a squad
last year? That. We go through this once a year where we get away from the run and we have to bully the coaching staff back onto it.
Why should we have to bully them, though? It's like the funniest shit. This was the funniest shit to me when Nick Sirianni. It was a couple of plays that Nick Sirianni. I was like, "What the fuck was that?" Offensively, you can see, you can read this. It's like, "What the fuck was that?" It's like, and it's just like, I don't. What is it? The guy trying to build his own identity or something? I go with what works, and that a punishment. It's like if you look at it until we. I don't know if you guys, well, you guys were paying attention, but go back to the first time when we would start running the ball down their throat. I knew we had them soon as they substituted the first string defensive line. Soon as you saw when we got down into the red zone, you saw them hitting that Viking spike on the side of the head, talking about come get me, and they brought all the other cats in there. That was the funniest thing in the world to me because that's what we had them then. Now we can pass. Then what do we? What? Who is running 10 yards ahead of their DB down for a 60 or 70 yard bomb? Slim Reaper. That's because once you instill that we're gonna run this ball down your throat, it's like I was like, you guys play high school football? Yeah, you guys play 9-on-7, correct? 9 offense people versus 7 defenders. If you can stop it with 7, then you're good. You're solid. But when you can't stop it with those 7, everybody else is like, man, we got it. We got to stop this run. We got to stop the bleeding. And everybody's keying in on the run. That's exactly what we need to have him doing. And we handled the business. He finally got it in his head.
Now, I talk about the passing attack. Now, everyone, winning looks different week to week. You can't expect the passing attack to be all world when, you know, guys like Belichick are stepping up to try and slow down the vertical routes. You look at a disciple of Belichick, Brian Flores, spent 14 years underneath Belichick. They're going to get the answers from the test. But again, if you want to stop the passing attack, we're going to run it up your gut. I think that's the beautiful thing about it. I think AJ, wide receivers get diva like at some point in the time. They want to touch the football. Again, it's all good. It's, you know, people make something bigger out of nothing. Jalen Hurts and them talking on the sideline. That's just football talk. I think at the end of the day, when you make them pay like you did with Devontae Smith the way that he's running routes, he's telling stories and he's got different speeds and he's making people pay for it. I'm excited to see what Devontae did.
That's exactly what I've been saying about Devontae all offseason.
Yeah, you better get him. Give AJ some love too. Everybody, I was cracking up.
I'm not taking love away from AJ. I'm just saying
I was cracking up because I was like, we gonna call as the fans, we're gonna call dissension in the ranks because some stupid motherfucker put up who you with, AJ or Devontae. I went both of them, motherfucker. They on the same squad, stupid bastards. I never seen so many people be so stupid. The one thing that I did fairly enjoy is the way our defensive front, especially the young guys, man, they put on a clinic. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch Jordan Davis up close in his past game. He was
put it work.
That he was wreaking havoc and sweat.
Talk to Pete Nathan in chat for
what Pete Nathan say.
He called him a bust.
Call who a bust?
Jordan Davis.
He tell Pete Nathan to go fornicate himself. That's like the funny thing is he was destroying people in the Patriots game as well. It's like the one thing that it's a lot of stuff because somebody else is talking to him. He stared the round too much for me. I say maybe when you look at him, he's just standing around. But I was like, he takes up 2 blocks and he's destroying and crushing the pocket, keeping the guys from stepping up. I think they're deploying him just the right way, and then the guys that's coming off the bench too is like it's not that much of a drop off. And once they keep that rotation going, it's a great mixture. I enjoy what I saw as far as the guys up front. Now the back end needs to communicate a little bit more, and we need to start playing Sid Nay a little bit more with Blankenship. So hopefully Blankenship to come back.
I mean, true story: the Eagles are down players on the back end of our defense. You talk about N'Kobe Dean being out, Bradbury. Obviously, he'll be back, but Bradbury being out, Blankenship being out, and little Tay-Tay, obviously.
I told you.
You'd like to see him play a full season. I think he's missed 35 of what 80 something games.
That's what I said. I love it, man. He missed a bunch, and I told you I love his tenacity and his ability. I was like, but he's hurt way too much. You have to get somebody, a quality backup, somebody we can trust. It's like, because we trust him a lot. I was like, we need to find somebody else like him because he's often hurt.
Do you think that one of these younger guys can step up and fill that slot position, whether it be Ringo or Job or Ricks?
You know, the funny thing is,
or maybe we slide one of those guys outside.
You know what the funny thing is, Evlove, is I'm hoping that, because what I was just talking about, when you get the opportunity, the coach is only going to trust you when you start making plays and knowing what the hell to do. Watching Job do what he did, that was just like, dude, you don't just let nobody run scot free. Everybody else got somebody. It's like the one thing that I do know about most defensive coaches. He said, when in trouble, if in doubt, knock everybody the fuck out. That means it's like, if you're in trouble, you don't know what to do. Go fuck up everybody. It don't matter. You don't just stand there, hold it, or watching us taking up grass. Dude, he covered that.
Be a bull in a China shop.
Yeah, it's like he messed up. He was like, he hit the baddest person on the field. Nobody. It's like he hit nobody. I was like, and when you put that in a situation, in a type of situation that this was a situation where they should have seized the second. You show them what you can do. You can't say, I didn't get a chance. You just had a chance. You had to step up to the plate. You never know where your chance is going to be. And then when you see that, if he did that to you, are you trusting them to get in the game again? Aren't you putting them in there sparingly?
Yeah.
That's the only thing. When you say, who are we going to get for Avante, whoever steps up to the plate that we can trust. I'm thinking Sidney Brown. I'm thinking Sidney. Okay. I'm thinking more of Sidney or possibly Edmonds for now.
Brad Bear got slot reps during the off season. I think also just watching Sidney Brown in at the Senior Bowl against Tank Dell, I was pretty impressed with a twitchier dude. So I mean, it'll be interesting to see. But I think they got to lay it all out there. But in a cool tone, brought up Job. What do you guys think about Job's performance?
It was underwhelming. I mean, he got burnt, obviously, and I think that he was called on a big spot, and those are the times that you need to make a name for yourself, and he just did not do that. So if I am the defensive coordinator and the coaching staff, I'm looking at the practices this week, and I'm reevaluating what we're doing there. There is a lot of people are talking about right now are mentioning the BB, who just went on a phantom injury down in Arizona on the IR.
Buda Baker.
Yeah.
And he ain't gonna play. I don't think he's gonna play down there. I don't think he likes. I don't think he likes Gannon.
But he played on Sunday. I don't understand. They were saying that he was a healthy scratch.
Well, they're saving him.
But then he played. But then he played.
For a trade.
Saving him
for a trade, big homie.
Hey, Prime. Yeah. You got fire in your gut?
You got fire in your gut?
Did you take the bus here? Take the bus here?
Take the bus here. Where are we going with this?
Oh, yeah, it was again. It was again in.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Got fire in your belly.
How did most of you guys get here this morning? That's how you start off.
Prom was about to like. Yeah, I've had the runs. How'd you know?
Job. I mean, look. Obviously, the coaching staff is seeing something different than we are. They're the ones watching the kid every day at practice and everything. So, I mean, for him to get the starting nod, it means something. Given the opportunity to go ahead and step up this past weekend, there was the opportunity, bro, and you definitely didn't fulfill that one. Gave up some pretty big plays, and it was a little. I'm not going to go ahead and bullshit. I was a little worried because. Damn, did Cousins find, the weakest link? Is he going to go ahead and attack it the rest of the way? But luckily, other guys stepped in, helped out. And then, not going to take everything away from the kid. He has some shutdowns at the right time, thank God. And, it definitely was one of the reasons why we solidified that win on Sunday. But going forward, we definitely got to make a change.
We should have never gotten rid of Rasul Douglas.
He's pulling the Rasul Douglas card.
School would be perfect right now. I mean, we do have
Bradberry in the mix. He's coming back. Everything's okay.
I don't know, but I think the old Rasul is actually coming back because he's not looking too good in Green Bay these first two games.
So I thought I'm way out of position.
I think he's back to his old self, man.
Yeah, he hung on for a little bit. shout out to my cousin Kiki in the chat. She said, "Let's talk about abandoning the run to placate AJ." But I mean, they did score a touchdown that was called back on that.
Yeah, and it's like the funny thing was is the holding call that they called on us on one of their touchdowns. It was somebody doing this exact same thing, even worse. I was like, so they're gonna just let that go by. I get so sick and tired of talking about the officiating. It's horrible, and I don't think we abandoned the run to placate AJ. I think AJ was like, man, I'm open. and you know what the funniest thing is now that every time we see a little spat on the sideline. Do you think that football is a game that everything is gonna be peachy king all the time? It's like we got out there trying to get shit done. It's gonna be some hot tempers. It's gonna be some stuff said that's gonna be left out there. It's like, but once the dust settles, we cool when we get on the inside.
I think one thing that's kind of getting lost in the sauce here is that we have a defensive lineman that is a rookie and third in the league in QB pressures right now.
Ooh, Jalen Carter.
It was a guy that, you know, a lot of people were afraid to touch. Eagles took a chance.
He's gonna take no damn chance.
It's worked out.
It's worked out. I was laughing because I was like, I would have took a chance.
You said I said that.
Well, no. I didn't say we didn't really take a chance. He was there, and we just took him. There's no chance to take. He wasn't going to prison. He hadn't beat nobody up.
When I say take a chance, I'm simply acknowledging the fact that there was a lot of teams that were afraid to touch him. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, you didn't take no chance though.
Hey, all that aside, he's been everything that I hoped and expected him to be, and like the fact that I think just everybody plays off each other so well. I mean, Fletcher Cox picked up a fumble. Hey, Josh Sweat has been a menace to society on his own accord. I think the left tackle from the Vikings. Was happy that game was over because he was getting thrown around like a rag doll.
Yeah, he was
overall the front is ridiculous. That's it. At the end of the day, I can sleep at night knowing that we have our front. Like that front, you match them up against anybody, and they're dominating. So I mean, I'm not trying to be too confident, but I see I like what I see.
Hey, and I just love how deep our rotation goes too, because it allows for guys like Fletcher Cox to have life year after year, man. Like, he's playing well too, and we're talking like a decade into his career.
Yep.
This man is still performing at a high level, and I think that is directly because he doesn't have to be out there three downs. You know, he's able to get rotated in and out.
Yep, that's I like the fact that they're not overdoing it and overusing him or anything. It's great to see him making play. Like I know you guys remember the Patriots game when he came out two plays in a row. Sack and a tackle for loss and a sack came out there and affected the whole series and stuff and got them to either they end up punting, end up having to punt, but those like that's what you expect when you got guys on the sideline resting and they're the best way to describe it, they're seasoned vets and they can come out and turn it on like that. That's like you'll see BG come out and run somebody over, run somebody down. You see, well, Sweat's not that long in the teeth, but I don't know if you saw when he called the fumble. That play? I was actually in the box, and everybody was, you know, that's why sometimes I don't like being in the box because it turned into a damn social. I'm still watching the game, and every motherfucker, people trying to talk to me. I'm like, I'm trying to watch the game. Then all of a sudden, all you see is Sweat coming around the edge, and you see the big white Mick come up, and I said, "Damn!" And everybody jumped when I did it, though. It was funny as a mug, though.
What are they talking to you in the box? Are they going to ask you if you're to bring your Jerry curl back?
No. You know, don't get mad. Yo,
House had a smooth Jerry curl back in the day. If you check the tape. S-curl?
No, it was Luster Silk. don't get mad. Those on is like that sometimes.
Looking like Fats Domino. I dig it, man. Yeah. The sweat was coming out.
I know you just got the hate. If it's hate in your heart, let it out. But but no, they often just start talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. It's never about the game. Hey, how you doing? What you doing? What you here to do? I'm here to watch the fucking game. What the fuck you need?
What do you think of the spread, Hollis?
No, they don't even ask that. That would be a reprieve.
Gail, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think we get like different characters every week, right? Around
y'all do?
Yeah, we get different characters every week. We have, we got one week, we had one that I swore knew like every play, not play call, oh, but like every rule. Yeah. Every rule in the NFL.
I don't want to be that guy, but I was definitely.
You don't want to be that guy, but then it's just like, it's just hard to kind of like zone out as you're watching the game. Then you got, you know, we've had a couple people that got the sports mixed up. We've had a couple
at this past tailgate.
No, I'm preseason
during the couple games.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no, just kind of like referencing off of what Hollis deals with in the box. We kind of deal with that, you know what I mean, around us. So I get it. I mean, I could just imagine what a conversation up in the box is like.
The weirdest thing I've seen at the Eagles game in a long time is an emotional support parrot.
This dude was walking
around with his parrot. I'm like, I said, if Prime can't get his helmet in,
can't get your helmet in, Prime?
How the hell did you get a parrot in? Yeah,
was that inside of the stadium?
Yeah. Inside of the stadium.
I pointed out the gate. We in line. I'm like, yo, he's like, huh?
And there was a living parrot?
Right there.
Like, it was like a fake one.
I took
a pirate set.
I took multiple photos of this guy walking around with his parrot,
bro. How the fuck did he get that in there, bro? Are you kidding me?
I went back and read the rules. So if there's like if that's a deemed emotional support animal, he's cool with that. Prime, I actually went back and looked at the rules. If your helmet has batteries, the helmets are not allowed.
Is it because I had batteries
in something that also could be
that's probably why I was set off the woods in McCall. I didn't think about the batteries.
Oh, you had batteries in it?
Yeah, because I was into the zone, bro. The blue lights came on. I was amped, man. For the little bit of energy that I still had left before the sickness started kicking in. I mean, I was amped, ready to go. Usually Gail's the one that Gail's usually the one that gets stopped at the gate. So I was already in my mind like, we're going to be about another minute or two because of Gail. No, this time it was me. Back to me, the original. And they're like, well, we got to go ahead and call. They're calling. They're like, listen, we're here with an Optimus Prime mask. I'm like, yeah, they should know who it is and everything. Like, come on. And then like, yeah, we can't let you in. I'm like, are you serious? So I had to walk that shit all the way back to G-Law. I had to keep Gail standing there. I felt bad. I'm like, damn, I should have just went ahead and sent him the ticket. And then I ran. I haven't ran like that in a minute. So I started running back, dropped the helmet off, ran back to Gail, got back in. I mean, what we missed? About maybe a minute or two of the game. Usually that kills my vibe. You know what I mean? We like to see kickoff and all that stuff.
Missed the light show. I know, Hollis, you saw the light show.
Yeah, I saw the whole shebang.
Did you have a tear in your eye? Was it light
show? Bro, that was off the chain. I told you. I like that. I like how they came on.
No tears, just goosebumps.
Goosebumps,
because I was ready to kick some ass.
Yeah. Now, we'll go start with Ev Love X. What was your biggest negative? Not from the win itself, but what was one of the biggest negatives that you picked on from the win?
I mean, this is kind of the same thing as the first week too. I think that we have all the talent in the world in our players. I think that they've got the wrong direction right now as far as the coaching staff. I think that we're still just. We're getting used to the new coordinators, both offensive and defensive. There was more of a feeling in the New England game that we were going to find a way to blow that game. I just, in the pit of my stomach, it felt like we were trying to give that game to them any means necessary. I felt more comfortable in this Vikings game, but still, I've been underwhelmed so far with Sean Desai, and part of that is because of the injuries that we've faced. But I just want to see some better game planning.
Prime, what's your biggest negative?
I'm really starting to get fed up with the running that too much running by Jalen, man. It's starting to get, I don't know, between these two games, I just felt like, whoa, I already seen him ran like about 11, 12 times. Bro, I can't afford this guy to get hurt. I mean, he knows his body better than all of us. Of course, I get it. And you know, but the play calling for him to go ahead and hold, we saw it. I mean,
I know,
Swift,
I,
Swift,
Swift had that one wide open in the middle, probably could have got like a good 13, 14 yards out of that. And then we didn't know until halfway, as he's halfway through the tunnel, I'm like, yo, he kept the goddamn ball. He's running it. What the hell's going on? And then, you know, he ended up scoring, what, two rushing touchdowns on Sunday? On Thursday. And I'm like, yo, listen, you know, at one point we thought it was Swift that ended up scoring a touchdown. I'm like, nope. We look at the score. I'm like, yeah, the scoreboard. I'm like, yo, it was Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is rushing in there for it. Like, I don't, yo, why? Like, come on. Why? Why? All last year, all for it. This year, nah, bro, if we're going to keep this train running and if this is going to be our running back, I need you all the way through.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you're out on the QB sneaks, right?
Because No. We just we didn't need to do it as much as we did on Thursday. It was, and then you started hearing it from the crowd, like run the ball, but give it to a running back. Don't run. Listen, you shouldn't be running.
I don't have a problem with that play because I don't know if you noticed. It's like at one point it was so demoralizing for Minnesota because as that particular play that we're speaking of, the sneak, number 91 had one hand on one hip and he was on the knee. Right when they was getting ready to snap the ball, he put the other hand down. He ended up in the back of the end zone. That's how bad, and that's demoralizing enough. I understand about the other part. Hey, Lisa, but I understand about the other part. The only negative I have is the inability of our offensive coordinator to know our personnel. You were here last year. You know what to do to get the ball downfield as far as if you want to pass. You have to run the ball. You have to put them on notice. A lot of people tell us I'm pass first. No, you can pass first all you want to. Because once you pass first, nobody's worried about it. And then the guys up front are still fresh. You wear those guys down and you get them to thinking about the run. And then you unload the pass on them. And then you get them on their heels and you cook them with bacon grease. But until our offensive coordinator comes up, gets off his high horse and starts to run the ball first, because that's what we are. We're a run team. We got big dogs up front. The reason why the big dogs up front didn't give up a lot of sacks last year is because we started running the ball first. We start making the opposing team's defensive line tired. When they're tired, you ain't thinking about nothing. But when that ball snap, you go come off the ball and you're hoping for the best. But because once you get tired and they got you thinking more than reacting, we win it. That's how we was winning last year. But if you continue to pass the way Brian Johnson is passing, then we gonna see a lot of what we saw at the beginning of both the games. Because if you didn't think that Brian Flores is going to look at the tape from Bill Belichick, then you're sadly mistaken. They did some of the exact same things. And this is a copycat league, so you can expect some of the exact same shit that we saw the first 2 weeks to try to stop us this week.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
My biggest negative is just really execution, because there's at times whether penalties or you know, whether it be we just need to execute a lot better.
Yeah.
Talk about executing a task. Shout out to Puga. His friends out in Texas came to join our tailgate. And this is a random story, but mm-hmm. so his Puga's friends are the guys who actually got the criminal in Cavalcante who escaped the prison mm-hmm. recently that you saw over the news.
These the guys that caught him.
These are the guys that actually caught them. And they were, you know, they were telling me stories about the actual situation. Like they were showing me photos, and I was like telling the stories of how crazy it was and how close he was in their vicinity, and he was there for like hours, but just the situation they were in with the heat and them trying to find body heat of him in the woods. It's crazy.
How Gail took the picture, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you guys were on the cheesesteaks.
And then he wants to come and tell us after the war, they're like halfway mile down the road.
Ross Tucker stopped by the tailgate while you guys were cooking.
Those are the guys that caught the guy. Who? Where? Like, wow.
Did you not hear the shout out?
No, Gail, you're right. It's really hard to know where to find us at this tailgate. It's not like the same spot the entire time.
Did you not remember when I went up to you, Prom? I said, those are the guys.
I just said that. You came to tell us those are those guys, and they were already a half a mile down the road.
And right before that.
I just took a picture with them.
They asked to take a picture with me.
Did you just see Michael Jordan come over here?
Bro, they asked to take a picture with me. So I said, if you're going to take a picture, can I take a picture as well?
Google was like, yeah, just take the picture with the black guy. The other two guys, nah.
But anyway, I just want to say thank you guys for your service out here. So, you know, while some other people were complaining about how long it took, I mean, these guys were out here. They got the job done.
Yeah, it was a big deal, especially for the area people, because, you know, a lot of people were scared that they weren't going to be allowed out their houses. People were even, you know, some people in the newspaper were talking about, I just want to make sure I was going to be able to go to the Eagles game. I'm like, damn, that's why. Like, that's what they were worried about, because we weren't sure if the roads were going to be open.
People are on lockdown. A lot of schools, kids.
That dude's a legit murderer, bro.
I told you on the way up, you know, for the funeral services that morning, I was catching the end of it I just brought it to Autumn's attention, and I was like, "Bear, we're about to get on 100, and there's a possibility we're probably going to run into traffic because these things are going to. This thing is probably still going on." She went on and she checked, literally like 10 minutes as we're, you know, going up 100. She's like, "Oh, they just caught him like 15 minutes ago." I'm like, "Wow!" And then it made sense with all the cops that were coming down 100 at the time. So it was wild. It was a wild death.
Yeah, he was telling me about like the guy was like, like 30 feet away from him for like 5 hours behind him.
That's wild.
Shout out to the dog.
What did they tell you guys, Ev and Prime? Did you guys get to talk to him?
They said fried onion with cheese, please.
Wow, you just held that secret and didn't tell anybody. Huh?
I went to the DJ booth and I said, announced it that they were here. Also, they didn't tell you that though.
Also, I want to touch on that DJ booth real quick. Pretty sick, if I do say so myself.
Sick indeed.
The Red Bull truck showed up. That thing was sweet.
You got any pics up in here,
again? Let me see. No, he's too busy taking pictures with the. Okay.
There it is.
These guys hate motherfuckers, to tell you. but they don't. They don't. But they don't say. They're like, "Good job, Gail, on getting the damn Red Bull truck."
If the
that was the first thing.
Hold on a second. If this wasn't the conversation that led up, the picture Gail would have just used would have been this one.
Exactly. There it is. There it is.
Wow, Gail. Somebody's a bloodhound.
But which one did I use? This one.
Only because, like Evan said, we brought up.
That's I have a whole bunch of pictures in here. Maybe this guy with the belt. Maybe
the swag. Look at the swag. Yeah,
maybe.
Nice. Thank you.
Is that story better for you, Ev?
Yeah, I like that.
I didn't get no belt. I didn't get no belt. Let me cry like a little bitch.
Wow.
Man, that was definitely an awesome surprise. So thank you guys for that.
No doubt.
Talk about I obviously we're going down to the Hollis is going down to Tampa.
Yes, I'm going down to Tampa on Friday. It's going down. All we need is a stage.
Are we feeling good about this Tampa trip?
Hell yeah. I feel good about the game.
I feel great about the game, man.
We're playing Baker Mayfield, man.
Yeah, he sucks.
He stinks. Don't let that 2-0 record fool you. He stinks, bro. He's legitimately he's a backup quarterback in this league. He's done enough to get the job done. The first couple weeks, but
I mean,
I think that a legitimate defense like ours.
Tell me this, guys. This is a legitimate test for our offense because this is a defense that stifled us the last two times we played them. They still have Ty Bowles there. And a lot of the young guys, they still have pretty much the same concept as they had the last time we played them. I feel like this is going to be a good barometer for our offense to see if they've grown and matured. What do you guys think?
I remember during the playoffs, they were talking about Jalen's. They were trying to force him to the left to pass, and he was having issues. But I mean, like obviously, different quarterback. You know, I thought that game was perfect for him in terms of his maturation process, mm-hmm. like in terms of like making him. Just work through it. That's part of the growth. I think different wide receivers didn't have it. Talking about Quez Watkins, a young Devontae, and a Jalen Reagor. You got Devontae, a beast. You got AJ always open. I think it's a different situation, but I do think it's. I think the guys that the defensive coordinators were going up against, mm-hmm. these are some really good guys. So I think this is a litmus test for him as well. There's a comment from Marissa saying, does Jalen seem uncomfortable with every play? Like no trust?
I don't get that vibe. Personally.
The one thing it's like, I think I know what she's talking about too. Cause early on before they start like literally just running the ball and just like really truly running RPOs. If you look at the first game, there were some times where he looked kind of confused and kind of bewildered. But then once we start running the play and things start, we start doing stuff decisively. And it got back to what we're good at. It's just that's what I saw too. I saw him in the beginning look indecisive and kind of confused at times. I think we like a lot of people saying. I think we need to get back to what we do best. We have a bunch of big guys out there up front. They love when we run the ball. They love when we run the ball because it's easier to pass when we run the ball. Once you cannot go out there and it's kind of like. If you're a car, you got some Ferraris on the other side, but or a cheetah on the other side. A cheetah is only going to be fast for so long. But if you just keep on giving them the same thing and let them keep being fast, they're going to be fast the whole game. But if you slow that cheetah down and run at that cheetah, and it just not make his muscles sore, make him tired, you ain't gonna get the same speed out of him, and then you're able to harness it. But I think it was a coaching thing too, as far as offensively. I think Desai's been doing a tremendous job of disguising things and running some timely blitzes. I just want to see some blitzes. And I want to see some disguising coverages, and he's been also doing stunts up front because sometimes with the quarterbacks of nowadays, you're gonna have to stop the run with seven, but you can't stop the run with seven if you're just hitting the gap. But we don't have enough guys for gaps. That's what when somebody says cut up the run, that means you're running slants and stuff to cancel out some gaps because you got some guys back there who, like in the Miami game, we better cut up the run up front because they got some quarter horses that they can run fast as all get out. But I think the one thing that I think that we should do defensively is we should blitz a little bit more.
Yeah,
let's still blitz a little bit more.
And if there's one thing that I can point out in this coaching staff that I think they have done well, especially in this previous game, is owning the time of possession. I mean, if we were able to keep our offense on the field, and I don't know what the end number ended up being, but I know that like with like 10, 15 minutes left, we had already had the ball like 33 minutes. So we had a, you know, good control of the time of possession and that entire game. And, you know, the way that you own the time of possession is with running the ball. That's right. How you do it. You run the ball down their throat, first down, first down, first down. So stick with that.
I think our offense and our running game, the Bucs defense is right behind us as run defense. I do think we're the best at running the ball. You know, we're averaging 178 yards a game. I mean, you can't laugh at those numbers. At the end of the day, I think. What do you guys think of Cam Jurgens' performance as of late?
I mean, he's definitely let some through.
Yep, I think that's one of the. It's like when you look at it. My bad. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say he was a pigeon and handed it off to you.
Yeah, because I was thinking that same thing because I was looking at some of the plays. I was like, and that was the only thing. I feel like he knows where to be, but that's what I'm saying. He doesn't have those rocks in his pocket. Like you need that guard to stop guys coming through. You already got Kelce up there, and he like, so they're gonna try to make Sporting.
What do you mean by rocks in your pocket? Do you mean like
a big dog?
Size.
He's a center size. Centers normally weigh from 300 to 310 or less. Guards weigh between 330 and more. Okay. if you don't have that over there,
I was talking about the bubble, Evan.
Yeah, this, yeah. This, yeah. So it's one of those things where I feel like hopefully he starts getting a better anchor, or it's going to be just like Seumalo. Seumalo was really playing out of position. He's a center. He's built like a center. And when you build a guy with it is built like that, then that's another reason you got to run the ball first. Because I'm not scared when we run the ball with him. It's just that when somebody can load up, and they come in, and he has to worry about the linebacker and the guard and the nose guard, because he doesn't have the rocks in his pocket. He's going to be worried about that, so he's going to be kind of off kilter. And they're gonna light his ass up. And that's you go after the weakest link, like you said, the pigeon. You go after him every time. And if you notice, everybody, if you look at that Vikings game, like I got it on right now, and just what you guys said, that they're running the linebacker blitz, and all they did was take this tackle that was over him and run him upfield, and he was on skates, and the linebacker was coming right behind him, and I think Rashard Penny got a holding call because it was like, yep. Damn.
And that was play.
So it was bad. to answer your question at the bottom of the screen, I think that the Eagles end up giving up more rushing yards than the 28 we gave up versus the Vikings. I went into that game saying that I do not understand the Alexander Mattison hype. Yeah. I don't get why people think that, like, and this is also coming from the fantasy football world. And I was watching him getting drafted in the, you know, top five rounds. And I'm sitting here,
really?
is there something I'm not seeing? Because I just don't see it. And we played him, and my theory was proven correct. I think he's a mediocre running back.
Yeah, I mean, he's a nice change of pace back, but I think also.
He's the only pace that they got.
But yeah, I'm saying.
They got rid of Cook.
Our defensive front was crazy. So,
yeah, tell me this. It's like this was the thing I had with. I was pissed when they let go of Dalvin Cook, and the guy was cool. The number two is Mattis. He's cool, but it's only cool when you got Dalvin Cook there with him just by himself. The first game, he had 11 carries for 40 yards. Yeah. I was like, he was getting nowhere fast. And the
he's Correll Buckley without Deuce Staley and Brian Wilkins.
You're saying Addison or Madison?
Madison.
Addison toasted us.
They're missing two starter offensive linemen. I think our defensive front was too much for them.
No, but with the same offensive line, Dalvin Cook was cooking people.
No, I mean they're missing their starting left tackle and
no, but he still was cooking people. Go look at his stats. They still had the same bum ass offensive line, but he wasn't.
They were playing last year.
Yeah,
Yeah, playing last year. I'm not saying Madison is a world beater. I think he's just like what it is. You know, I'm not
draft him. What I was saying. He's nothing special.
Yeah, because the guy hasn't gotten over 35 yards yet.
Is he a Jag?
But with that being said, talking about the Bucs game, I think Rashad White is a better running back than Madison. He seems to be pretty decent. So I think that there's a chance that he can get some chunk plays in there. But
you guess how many yards
that he ends up with?
How many yards the Bucs have?
Rushing yards?
Rushing yards?
So far this season?
No, I mean against us.
Oh, against us. I'm going to say 85.
85? Nah, I'll stick around that number because it's going to put the line. It's another test for the line. I mean, he's definitely not Madison, you know what I mean? And he's definitely not what's his name that played for New England? Stevenson. Yeah, so, I mean, like, you know, it's a different – this guy is a hard runner. You know, I saw the game the other day, and you know, the guy, when he gets to the line, he goes full throttle. You know what I mean? He goes straight up the gut. But, again, this week you're seeing the Jalen Carter, you know what I mean? And I want to see, you know, you have that same energy going against next that line. Jordan so, you know what I mean? Good luck there. And then, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if it's under 60.
I was gonna say 75.
I was gonna say around 65.
Yeah, I was saying 75 because I think they, in order to get Baker Mayfield going, they're gonna have to get the rush going to give him some play action fake ability. So I think they're going. It's not gonna be that prominent, but it may be less if we get out to an early lead.
One player they have on the roster that I fully respect, a guy who's putting up thousands, like it's nothing. I'm watching Baker Mayfield play, and I'm like, he's playing with a little bit more confidence. And when you have guys like Godwin to rely on, and then most of all Evans, who he's like posting up to these guys like a basketball player. I mean, he's throwing it up there, and he has a better shot to complete these said passes. But I still think when you're getting that interior pressure that he's not used to seeing, which Jalen Carter is going to be in his face all day, Fletcher Cox, the sweat, the whole nine, they're going to have issues. They're going to have issues.
I mean, those are two legitimate wide receivers that they have in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And I will say, I was actually texting a buddy as I was watching the games on Sunday, and we started talking about Mike Evans because I was saying to him, I was like, dude, in my opinion, I think he's first ballot, man. I think Mike Evans is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, without question. First nine seasons, 1,000 yards?
Yeah, dude.
Stat-wise, but his attitude and everything is going to kill it.
I don't care, bro. He's a legit wide receiver. It doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. He puts up numbers, bro.
T.O. is the same way, but what killed him?
I know.
T.O.'s the top three wide receiver all time.
I know. I was talking to my esteemed colleague, and he didn't know how Jason Taylor or Zach Thomas got in the Hall of Fame either. So,
you really going to go ahead and talk Zach Thomas? I thought Zach Thomas definitely deserved it.
Shit, get the fuck out of here. Okay. I
touched the nerve. My bad.
Yeah, because he sucked ass.
How many cookies did he take from you?
None.
You sure?
I kicked his ass every time I played it. Go look it up.
What are you gonna do on the day that Big Red gets in, Hollis? Because you know that's happening.
I don't care. He's I think he deserves to go in. Big Red deserves to go in. I mean, he's to me.
You going up there?
He's a straight organizer. I'm not going out there. Fuck him. He's a good organizer and stuff. And he knows how to get things going to get a team ready to play and win. Now the time management thing, that's a whole different story. And he's won a lot of games. So. So he deserves to be in. Now you can't tell me fucking Zach Crockett belonged in before Eric Allen. You can't tell me Zach Crockett belonged in before. It's a bunch of motherfuckers that was before both of them.
You ain't gonna get no argument from me there.
Both of them. Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor. Are you fucking kidding me? They took a letter from Tom Brady. The fuck out of here. He's a cheater. The complete fuck out of here. And Bill Belichick. Are you fucking kidding me, man? It's like the fact that everybody is kissing their ass and the fuckers cheated and we know it. They lied to it. They sit there and said, I call him the deflator because he was losing weight. Are you fucking kidding me? I destroyed. Name any one of y'all. Name me a time that y'all destroyed a phone. Name me a time that you destroyed a phone. He destroyed his phone so they couldn't look in it. You didn't know that, did you?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Tom Brady?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew that.
I thought we were talking about Zach Thomas.
Yeah,
I'm talking about all of them.
I was like, Zach.
All the whole
microphone. I was like, Zach Morrison, the Saved by the Bell phone? Yeah. I was like, okay.
But no, it's like, I was talking to, I'm not going to even tell, but I was talking to my boy. I was like, man, how did they get in? He's like, dude, it's like it's complete and utter politics. That's why it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's not the NFL Hall of Fame.
Well, we all know that Tom Brady's a liar. I mean, we saw two weeks ago when the man lied in front of all those New England fans talking about, I'm going to always remember you. This is my favorite place, but then was out.
Bro, he took off on the helicopter.
Like, he didn't want to be there.
I thought it was hilarious how when he was interviewed on TV and he was talking about how, you know, this is great. It's my first week one where I'm able to watch all some of my favorite teams play, and I'm like, the pluralization of teams, like as a New England fan, I would have taken that to heart, bro. It's like, yeah.
And Brady was all Botox stuff. He was like,
yeah. What? Yo, I was thinking the same thing. He must have just got a dose before he got up to the podium.
Honestly, seeing him in the jersey without the pads was weird too.
did he do a Levi commercial too while you guys were there?
Nah,
they said he did a fake a makeshift Levi commercial running around the stadium.
Oh, he did do that. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
He was doing
like some skips. They were like elongated skips.
But I'll tell you what, by the time he got back to that podium, man, he could barely get those words out because he was.
Yo, and I think that something else that was not talked about during that too. Yo, in usual fashion, Robert Kraft was just hammered. He was slurring his words.
I think Kraft had an edible.
I can't be more thankful.
Pull him back.
My man is lit.
Pull him back there. He was up there with Mark Wahlberg and they're chilling in the booth.
Yeah, probably had. He was scared to show Meek on the screen. You know.
Yeah. But while we're at it, I want to give love to Philly Sports Trips. If you're looking to head out for a trip, you know, there's a whole bunch of trips coming up. We are going on the trip to LA. I know Hollis is taking his trip to Tampa.
Yeah, and then LA.
LA.
I'll tell you, the one thing that you should know about the Tampa trip, there will be a sighting with Vince DiPaoli and David Tasty Akers down there with me. Possibly Bobby Williams will also be the former offensive guard. I spoke with him and he'll be joining us in the festivities.
We got a big
ball of air spread of five videos coming, but we also have rented out Coco Crush for the Sunday night party. It's going to be a stone cold groove. So it's the hippest trip. Now, go ahead.
Are you looking to take a trip to Hogan's Pro Shop? What's up, man? You want to check out Hulk Hogan?
Hollywood Hogan? Is
he there now? Yeah, man. You got to go check the man out, bro. Check the man out.
Say no more. I'm going to try my damnest to get over there.
Don't take a picture with Hulk Hogan. Show these guys.
Yeah, let them know, man. Give me a video. You know what I mean? Tell them give a shout out to Prime. That'd be hot. I appreciate that.
If you're there, then I'll do it because I know one of my boys lives down there, and I'm gonna see if he'll take me over to one of my boys.
Yeah, he's right on that strip in Clearwater, man.
Cool. Yeah. Mm. Gotta go there and see Hollywood Hogan.
No, but I agree, man. You know what I mean? Anybody gets a chance, you know what I mean? Hop on these Philly sports trips. We definitely hit in LA, Kansas City. We in the works of talking about Dallas and all that stuff, but the only way you guys are going to find out how we get it in, man, is by joining us on one of these.
Hey, we got John Dornbos is going to be on LA trip, and Quentin Michael is going to be there as well.
Yeah.
Now you see me. Now you know. John Dornbos.
The one thing in that Kansas City trip that will be a trip to the World War One Museum with me. I've never been to the World War One Museum, and growing up, you know, I don't know if you guys. In history class, we always talk about World War II. I didn't learn that much about World War I, and I want to know a little bit more about it and see, you know, see what the hell.
I'll give you a dollar if you could tell me who was assassinated to start World War I.
I don't know.
Well, you're going to learn in the museum, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I told you. who was assassinated, though?
Archduke Franz Ferdinand, of course.
Oh, what? Okay.
Did you look that up, or you knew that?
I did have to look it up, but I did know it. I knew it was Ferdinand.
But
I didn't know it was his first name.
But now it's like I research and study so much other stuff. I just never really when we was down there for the draft. You know, the actual draft was at the World War One Museum. So obviously, you could just go roaming around doing nothing. But when you when I go back, I'm gonna be able to roam around and check some things out. And I have a full report for you guys after the game.
I expect you. As a man I'm that down to join his you, to time honest. In the trenches. I want a full dissertation on trench warfare when you get back.
Hey, Hollis. Hollis, you know, I brought up while we were up there in Boston, I brought up our guy Crispus Attucks. And these guys didn't know who Crispus Attucks was.
I'm surprised that Prime didn't. He was the first person to get killed in the war.
And, Crispus Attucks.
And War for Independence. Yeah. He's a brother. Yeah. He's a brother.
Nobody knew that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It's like stuff like that where I learned that in history class, but they never really said anything about World War One. It was always World War Two and the Civil War and the War for Independence.
So you're going there in Kansas City?
Damn,
Kansas City,
Skippy.
Okay. Can we all go there together and learn some history?
Yeah. You go.
All right.
Big fan history.
We going on.
Hey, barbecue first though. Barbecue.
Slaps. Trust me.
Barbecue first.
Name a place is called Slaps.
Slaps.
Let's oh my it. Fucking god!
Barbecue so good, I'll slap your mama.
You ain't gonna have time because your hands gonna be full of tender roasted meats. Pause.
Yeah. before we, I forgot to ask your offensive MVP from the Vikings. Go. Uh-huh. Offensive, obviously, it's the easy one.
My DeAndre. Guy.
DeAndre. Yeah.
Swift.
Mm-hmm.
The Swift one.
Because might I add, he's on my fantasy football team. It was like
yo, I put him in the flex. This
it was 3 minutes before time. You know what I mean? I slipped him in there. Reorganized, threw the Eagles defense up in there, and I was like, hey, why not? You know what I mean? I might as well throw Devontae up in there too. So I had three Eagles going at one time. Oh yeah, 76 points.
I go. It's actually he has a name change. It's DeAndre. Bad motherfucking Swift. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Bad motherfucking Swift. That's his nickname now. Bad motherfucker. Devontae Smith said
motherfucking
that.
Motherfucking Jones.
Okay.
Your defensive MVP.
That's kind of hard. I got to go Sweat.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Carter. Continuing to get that pressure up the middle. I'm gonna go Carter.
We'll make this easy for you. There's some stats here.
What is that, Sam?
There you go.
I'm waiting.
Josh Sweat had a sack, 5 QB hits, and a forced fumble. I think that would give him the defensive MVP.
I'm giving the whole defensive line MVP because, you know what I mean, 4 forced fumbles. Hey, look, I felt like it was the fumble show every drive. Fumble.
Hey, who was your Eagles unsung hero from last game?
Devontae Smith.
I was gonna say Devontae too.
He ran some he ran some short intermediate. He didn't just hit the deep route. He ran some short intermediate routes and stuff. And then that touchdown catch that came out of nowhere, dude.
Oh, that was pretty.
And it was sweet too.
That was pretty. Yeah. I mean, if you love watching wide receivers run routes. He is slowly roasting these guys. He's setting them up for failure, different speeds, and then he just puts on the Jets. Oh, so pretty. What did you have?
I'm gonna go one that everyone seems to forget. Kickers are people too, pal. 61 yard bomb.
61
out of Jake
bomb.
Elliott. Let's think back to the year we won the Super Bowl. Can we?
61 yard bomb.
What was it that happened in week 3 versus the Giants that was the catalyst to start that amazing season?
61 yard field goal.
62 yard bomb from Jake Elliott. So I'm going to go to my man, Jake Elliott, as the unsung hero.
Todd's from down south, Todd says O-line. Bobby says Justin Evans. Who?
Yeah, you know what? The funny thing is the funny thing about that one was he did a couple of things that redeemed him from the previous week. I didn't get to talk to you guys after the New England game. That Joker was on every touchdown play. You saw the back of Evans' jersey. I was like, dude, you're a safety. Why am I looking at the back of your jersey? I was like, come on, but I still say Devontae. Yeah, I still say Devontae.
Oh yeah, Pete Nathan is Jake Elliott as his unsung hero. Marissa says Devontae and Swift. Let's see. Shout out to Conrad also for taking these lovely photos. If you've seen any of our photos on the timeline, you know, this is a great photo here. This guy, I forget his name. He shows up every other tailgate praising
the sign was awesome.
Praising the Lord here. He's our Eagles unsung hero today. Yeah, but I forgot what I was saying. Oh yeah, shout out to Conrad for taking the photos, man. He was legit getting some capturing some moments there.
Yes, sir.
You guys are going to be ready, recovery, because this is a mini bye. The next time the Eagles play is September 25th. So
I'm actually thankful, if I'm being honest with you, that we don't have a tailgate this week. Yeah. I'm feeling like horrible,
bro. We need this little bye. Yeah,
I need the bye for sure.
We need a little bye.
And I'm going to be getting a lot of catching a lot of Z's between now and then.
the texts that have been going back and forth. How you feeling? You feeling okay? You all right?
I was feeling great the day after, and then all of a sudden, like that following day, it hit me like a ton of bricks.
I had to make sure y'all were good, because when it started with me, I'm like, damn, man, the only ones that I was really close to that day was you guys. So I'm like, yo, let me just check.
I want to let you know I'm doing good. I've been inhaling some glue from the wallpaper that I've been ripping down. Other than that, I'm pretty good.
If it helps, it helps, bro.
Not ingesting glue.
You've been inhaling glue?
Wallpaper. Hey, don't. If you ever see anybody in your family put up wallpaper, you punch them in the ribs and sweep the leg for me. Taking that shit down is the worst.
Tell me I didn't tell you that, though. That removing wallpaper fucking
sucks. I'd rather.
Why don't you just paint?
Do you got the steamer thing going and then the scraper?
I take the hot shower and then I'm peeling wallpaper after I take a shower.
So I have a question.
I know it's weird.
Why don't you just paint the wall? Wallpaper is so tedious and then when you look at it too, it's like, damn, I fucked up on the seam right there.
I'm not putting up wallpaper.
Same people that are covering up nice hardwood floors with rugs.
I'm taking it off. Yeah, did everyone know that Hollis was a jack of all trades, a contractor over here?
General contractor.
General contractor.
Generally speaking.
Yeah. Yes. Get it done with Tank.
I didn't know
commercial construction, the whole shebang. You know, commercial.
I didn't know that until I told.
And residential. I try to stay away from residential because people be wanting wallpaper.
People still do that?
Wallpaper? Yeah. You'd be like, really? Wallpaper?
I want to also give a big shout out to Alex Levine, aka the Juggernaut. He came out, served up the pulled pork.
Oh, okay.
Was pretty phenomenal.
You right there, Ev?
Ev is dying on the chat as we speak.
Yeah, that one looked like it hurt.
Oh, God.
I'm gonna get so blamed for this shit.
Yeah, you look like you're in
right
so
you
much.
You are, pal.
You look like you're in so much pain, man.
Hey, I'm holding them in as best I can. Staying on top of that mute button.
Perfect time to check the medicals with Hugh and Hearn here. If you want to tell us,
that man is down and out for the count.
A warning next time.
I just want to know what your
damn bitch.
Are.
I think
I'm feeling like garbage. That's where we're at with the medical minute.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward with each new idea, innovation, and partnership. We're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Yeah, I got nothing. I got nothing.
Evan will be fine. We'll check, you know what I mean? Come Sunday, he'll be good to go.
Well, Boston Scott, he had a concussion last game?
Boston had a concussion. Avante Maddox torn.
Yeah, he's done for the year.
Done for the year.
I mean, that's an injury that we need to, I think, pay more attention to. I mean, it's, you know, slot cornerbacks don't grow on trees. I think it's
he can't catch a break though.
I know he's just like, man, every time he turn around, even you get him back ready for the Super Bowl and he was playing hurt then. It's like, damn.
It's a shame too, because when he is healthy, he's one of the top slot corners in the league, man. But it's that when he's healthy thing that is the kick in the pants.
Well, yeah. Good thing for those Wawa incentives.
Nady said, Tank, if you ever need a tile guy, holler at your boy Minshew.
Okay.
CJ Gardner Johnson also tore his pec too.
Yes, yeah, he did.
Saw that.
And any Eagle fan out there who celebrate injuries, and speaking of injuries, if you guys didn't see the Chubb injury,
that was brutal.
That was nasty.
I heard about it and I missed it.
Prayers up, dog. Prayers up.
His knee went the wrong way, Primo.
Yeah.
Him and
Saquon Barkley though. But Saquon is not as bad, but
wait, Saquon injured too?
Yeah, he's out for at least three weeks.
It could be a high ankle.
A high ankle. They hoping it's not a high ankle, but he'll find out as soon as he tried to put pressure on it. Yeah. And they're gonna wish they had just went in there and did the surgery. So because you don't have to take the screw out right away. It's the one thing that I hate to see is when somebody gets misdiagnosed. And I know how bad he wants to come back because it's another contract year for him. I was like, but dude, you gotta get healthy first. Yeah. Especially with the way they bent him, there's no way that's not a high ankle sprain. Yeah. I was watching the games and the highlights, and they came back from like 21 down, and it was just like, and then it was like it was the last. I think he ran the ball to get them in field goal position, and they bent them just the wrong way.
And he was running, running hard. Like he definitely got them back into he just had you could tell he didn't want to lose the game. Yeah. But again, think about those running back contracts. This is why you hold out. This is why you get your money.
And do you think that this past weekend was sort of an eye opener for Jonathan Taylor as well, who continues to hold out, and he looks at what happened is like, yeah, fuck that. I'm sitting out for the year.
The funny thing is he's injured, but it's like one of those things where I'm not going to rush back. Even if I'm still hurting, I'm still hurting. Yeah. I'm not going to rush back and try to play for somebody who does have the same loyalty for me that I have for them. Yeah. So it's one of those things where a lot of people's like, well, he could go back and things will say. I was like, not when you hear something like that from the owner, you don't give a. It's like basically the owner was like, he didn't give a fuck about him.
Yeah.
And once you hear that, I don't want to play for you no more. I don't even want to put on your jersey. Yeah. Like the thing, and it's not just running backs. A lot of people thinking that it's just running backs. They do that to everybody. I was like, so everybody keep thinking that they're singling them out. They do that to everybody. They use everybody up until they can't use them anymore. They try to keep you on that rookie contract. And then when it's time to pay you, the reason why they want you with agents, because they don't want you to hear all the shit they're talking about you behind your back.
Yeah.
That's why they want you to have an agent. They're not going to pay you your market value. They're trying to get you below market value, which is business. It shouldn't be personal, but they make it personal. So that's just what it's just part of the nature of the beast. And that's why they were still balking at Lamar Jackson being his own agent. It's like agents really serve no purpose. Because you want to know why? Basically, because you could just go and look at your stats and compare them with somebody, the top guys who are getting paid at your position, or the guys at your stats, and that's what your salary should be. And that's all it is. But you know, sometimes you know the guys feel like if they need the agent. Yeah, because he's going to get the calls and stuff. The agent gets to negotiate with other teams. It has, you know, and it may have some quote unquote, connections. But they don't have that many fucking connections. If another team wants you, they'll come get you.
Kareem Hunt is getting extreme amounts of love. who was it? The Bucks are looking at him. Bucks actually, they're running back Chase. Is it Chase Edmonds?
Yeah, Chase Edmonds. He got hurt last week.
Yeah, so they might be looking for a back as well.
Well, at Cleveland too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Kareem Hunt, I think, is going to land. Did he sign already?
I don't think so. Yeah. Not yet. I haven't seen anything yet.
I'm still thinking about that Chubb injury.
It was bad.
I told people, I'm like, don't look at it. And then when you say that, your people are like, say, you got a link? I said, don't look at
the injury. Knew he was done for the year right away when they said on the broadcast, they're like, yeah, we're not going to show this injury. I was like, oh, he broke his leg. Yeah.
Do you guys remember the Marcus Lattimore injury?
Marshawn Lattimore?
Marcus.
No.
Lattimore. South Carolina. Is it Marcus Lattimore? South Carolina running back? He got signed by the 49ers. He tore up his knee really bad. I remember, was it Willis McGahee?
Yeah, tore his knee up. Yeah, my mind always goes back to that dude that in the March Madness tournament.
Oh, yeah. From Louisville?
Yeah. Was crazy.
That's what it came through the bone.
Yeah.
The bone came through. Yeah.
This question keeps coming up in the chat. Do you guys agree that Howie's targeting Buda Baker?
I think you'd be naive to think that he hasn't at least made a call. He's definitely putting his feelers out there. And that's a position of need for us right now. And if, you know, Howie's one that loves a big splash play, man. He likes having his name in the news so they could talk about, you know, some big move that he made. And this is right up Howie's alley because we need a safety.
Hollywood, I think he's kind of just lulling us to sleep. So, you know, it all of a sudden, out of nowhere, either that deal or some deal that we weren't even thinking about happens to somebody that we need. I was like, because when you look at it, he's been doing it the past few years. I wonder what move is going to be this year to kind of put us over the hump. So.
Yeah, what if you got Jeremy Chinn?
Wow, I would be about that.
That would be
Jeremy Chinn's a good player, man.
Yeah,
that would be. I'm waiting for the outside the box move, but you know, other than that, man, I think I'm ready for the Bucks, man.
Ready to go down there.
I think I'm ready for my next dose of medicine.
Yeah, I think you are too. I see you holding back the cough.
Why don't we start with our last word? Who wants to start first? Don't everyone speak at once.
I'll do the last word.
Keep it short, damn it.
I keep it short. Damn, Skippy. My last word is we're 2-0. The victories haven't been pretty. But the W in the win column is sexy. I think we are a work in progress to where we could and where we're trying to get. So we should come up this next week. I feel like we should put out a better performance, especially against a team that beat us twice in 1 year, and that's not in our division. They beat us once in the regular season. They kicked our ass in the regular season, then they kicked our ass in the playoffs. And a lot of the guys are still on the team from that time. So this would be a good. This is going to be one of those great, great barometers because they still have the same defense and a defensive staff in place. So it'll be a great barometer for our offense to see how far they've come.
Interesting.
My message goes out to those Cowboys fans out there, man. They're feeling all high and mighty. I think you gotta realize that those points, they don't roll over week to week, you know. there's a lot of fans that think because they won 40-0 week one, they won 30-10. Listen, you guys are playing great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to undersell. You guys are a good team. But everybody and their mother knows what happens to the Cowboys come January. It don't matter that you're blowing teams out right now. You're going to be on the couch in February the same way you always are. So that's all I got to say for Cowboys fans.
Ooh, dropping the mic.
Hey, Ev, you know that the Cowboys are 3-7 in January.
Oh. Losers.
Last word, Primo.
Last word, man. Yeah, thank God we had this nice little 11 days off getting ready for the Tampa Bay game. We got to talk about how we even going to watch this. Are we watching it together? Is we doing something? You know what I mean?
As long as you ain't sick, we good.
I'm not going to be sick. I'm going to be very healthy. Don't worry about it. But anyway, I definitely want to say thank you to everybody that showed up at the tailgate, man. Shout out to Red Bull for making it happen. We got to meet some great people that are part of the team. It was a great experience, and it's an experience that we are definitely looking forward to expanding with everybody out there.
It was a great time. You know, we definitely put these tailgates together for you people, and you people make it happen. So can't be more thankful. My want to end it off by telling Evan, I'm gonna be in the building on Saturday to watch my Hurricanes go against your
Temple. Saturday, bro. Yo,
it's here. It's here.
How much are tickets?
I got them at a college rate, I guess, at $40.
I don't like that. Hurricanes are coming to town. I don't like that.
I got
blasted by Rutgers a couple weeks ago.
Hey, Primo, I do have your that Miami chain t-shirt thing.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. 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 That's right. That's
it's
right.
Pretty. It's pretty hot. It's pretty fire.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing my Canes in the stadium crazy, on Saturday, man.
Wow. I fight for the cherry M1.
But if
y'all not doing nothing on Thursday, me and Irv has got dog talk again this week on Vetted on H2D Radio. So okay, check us out again.
What we got there?
Anointed.
This is back in the day. This Hassan Reddick wearing the temple. Yeah, that's how long I've been written on the guy. and I'm not even a Temple fan.
Oh.
No, I like him, though.
Saturday, I don't.
Ev, do you want to go see Hurricanes play?
As long as I'm physically able and not dying.
Okay. Cool. It's Tuesday, bro. You're going to be fine come Saturday.
All right. Well, me and Ev are going to look for tickets, and we're going to be in the Temple section.
I'm gonna be in the Hurricane section, so it's all good. I'll be there. and look out for the Hurricane Prime mask, because it's gonna be there.
Are you serious?
With no batteries.
Okay, I was gonna say, you're gonna be able to get that in there?
No batteries.
You got a Hurricanes mask?
I got a Hurricane mask, bro. I'm bringing it out.
Wow.
Okay. My last word. I'm kind of shocked that you have a Hurricanes mask. That's for one. But a big shout out to all you guys who came to the tailgate. Shout out to Tina at Concha Hawk and Bakery for holding down. Shout out to Bud Light. Shout out to Rebel. Shout out to DJ Lowski and Head Trip, who had a phenomenal day. I know they're having the time of their life in that booth. I was like, for the first time in my life, I wanted to be a DJ just to be in the booth. But I think everyone had a great time. Food was immaculate. Cheesesteaks were immaculate. Ev worked himself sick. Prime out there helping Ev. Next time I take a photo with some heroes, I'm going to let you guys know I feel bad.
Wow, you don't feel bad. That's why you brought it up.
Now I'm just making content of it because I was like, they asked for a photo. I was like, let me get one in before you leave.
You know, they were working so hard, they didn't know that it was an option.
Well, I was kind of shocked. I'm like, how do y'all know Puga? Like, if everyone knows Puga,
yeah,
Puga is
maybe they met in the
stand-up guy.
He's the most interesting man in the world. What's that guy that the Dos Equis commercials?
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
most interesting man in the world.
But just to say that the Eagles, man, I'm feeling very confident about our Eagles. We played mediocre ball, and we're still dominating. Just imagine when we put it together. It's right now they're just figuring things out. They're going to go on a nice trip. And Hollis is going to be down there with Philly Sports Trips. It's going to be a big vibe. We're going to be 3-0 by the next time we speak. And as always, it's Fly, Eagles, Fly. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.